Hey everybody, welcome back. It is 2 a.m. and this is Thoughts If It Were You, Food for Thought by Neo Gentrix. Now, in the last podcast, I did cover pregnancy and wellness, and it was mostly because it was requested, but I figured with the information I'm covering now, it'd be a better time to cover it now than later. And I did talk about, quickly enough, illnesses that women go through during their pregnancy. Now, I'm going to continue on with the health skills that I'm going through right now for those who want to diet and keep themselves healthy. But I'm going to go back and cover infections in pregnancy as well in a little more depth, because I feel like it's a very important general topic that a lot of women need to know about, okay? Especially the ones who already do know but can't remember all of it. So anyway, we're going to continue where we left off with sugar. Like, what is it? Is it good? Is it bad? You know, there has been a lot of media attention recently about sugar in our diets, and it affects upon our health. So, there are so many different types, names, and classifications for sugar, and it can be hard to relate these claims to our own choices. You know, sugar is the name for a group of carbohydrates which have a short chain, okay? Just so you know. Cyclic structure, and they have a sweet taste. However, there are a number of other substances that can be used for sweeteners in food other than just that. Okay, the simplest of all the sugars is called monosaccharides. I can't pronounce it. And these form the building blocks of the other types of carbohydrates. You remember we covered that, although I actually went and looked it up, and it is monosaccharides. They can be found on their own, and they are commonly found bonded in pairs to form the rest of the range of different sugars, okay? There are three common monosaccharides. There's glucose, like I covered before, fructose, and galactose. Yeah, I know. They sound weird. Known sometimes as dextrose, glucose is the primary energy source for our biological organisms. Fructose is, or a fruit sugar, is the sweetener and most water-soluble of all the sugars, being about 1.7 times sweeter than table sugar, and is found mainly in fruit. The other one is galactose, does not commonly occur in its free source, but it can be found in peas and other legumes. So, it's less sweeter than the others, but it's just as good. Okay, and with that being said, most of the common sugars that we eat are known as disaccharides, disaccharides, because they are a mixture of two or more monosaccharides. Factors like how sweet they are, how fast they get absorbed, and how they affect our bodies depends largely on which two are combined of the monosaccharides. So, common combinations of monosaccharides would be, one of them is sucrose. That is the sugar we use in our homes to add to drinks or for baking, whether granulated caster, which would be super fine, or icing, which would be powdered sugar. Its form of glucose and fructose molecules combined, that's basically what it is. Although sucrose is found in many plants, only sugarcane, grown in tropical climates, and sugar beets, grown in colder regions, contain sufficient quantities to make extract actually viable. So, next is inverted sugar. It's similar to sucrose, but while the glucose and fructose molecules are bonded together in sucrose, they're both free in inverted sugar, okay? This makes inverted sugar taste significantly sweeter than sucrose, but not necessarily healthier. Golden syrup, or treacle, however you wish to pronounce it. These are a byproduct sugar, refined, and are mixed inverted. They're a mixture of inverted sugars and sucrose. Okay, it's thick. It's amber colored, known as like what they call light syrup. And while it is darker, Treacle is darker. It has a more distinctive flavor than golden syrup. Okay? Next would be brown muscovado, Barbados molasses, Demerara, turbinado sugar. All of them are different types of sugar. These sugars are essentially the same as the white sugar or sucrose, but are either less refined so that the molasses component of the sugar cane extracted has not been entirely removed, or refined by white sugar with molasses added back into it. They are all brown in color and have a caramel flavor. The degree of both, depending on how much molasses is in the final product, is to be determined. Nutritionally, though, brown sugars have very, very little difference from white sugar. Okay? Moving on to the next one, lactose, is the sugar found in milk. Although all infant mammals can tolerate lactose, only humans carry this ability to maturity. Okay? Even so, this trait is generic, and it varies between individuals and races. Around about maybe 5% of North Europeans and 90% of some Africans and Asian countries are lactose intolerant. Okay? They suffer bloat and abdominal pains if they ingest milk or any kind of milk products. This is not to say that they all are that way, just scientifically speaking, it's been proven that it's about around that much. But currently, it may be a lot less. Next is maltose. It's mostly found in germinating grains, particularly barley, and is less sweet than glucose, fructose, and sucrose. Maltose consists of two different glucose molecules bound together, usually the same. High fructose corn syrup, on the other hand, HFCS, is a sugar replacement that is slightly sweeter than sucrose. In Europe, it is known as glucose fructose syrup, or isoglucose. It is an inverted sugar produced from corn and maize starch, and although the production process is quite lengthy, the sweetener is much cheaper to produce than regular sugar and is produced as a liquid, so it is easier to blend with other food stuff, okay? It is generally used in its HFCS 55 form, containing about 55% fructose and 45% glucose. Most people have heard of this, but don't know what it means. And it is found extensively in processed food, soda drinks in the U.S., although it is less widespread in Europe, okay? Typically, only Americans do this. I don't know why. Next is the natural sweeteners. Natural sweeteners are sugar-based natural products, you know, used from both their sweetness... they're used for both their sweetness and their flavors, okay? And one of the most commonly known ones is honey. It's produced by bees, okay? It's probably the first substance to be added to any food to make them sweeter. It depends, the flavor of the honey though, it depends largely on the species of pollen that's collected by the bees. In addition to being used as a sweetener, honey is also, and this is a good thing for a lot of people, it has antiseptic qualities. It contains mostly fructose and glucose in it though, however. Next is the natural maple syrup. It comes from the sap of a maple tree, slightly less sweet and more runny than honey. It's mainly consists of sucrose. That's what makes it what it is. Okay? I'm going to stop here for a second. I'm going to take a short break, and then I'm going to come back talking about rice malt syrup, for those who don't know what that is. Okay, now we're back. A rice malt syrup. It's also known as brown rice syrup. Yes, you can make syrup out of rice. It's made from the fermented cooked rice, and it consists mainly of maltose and glucose. Okay, rice malt syrup is more calorific and less sweet than sugar, and has been reputed to be basically the higher than desirable. How do I put this? It has higher than desirable arsenic levels. Okay, it contains higher levels of maltose than fructose and glucose. So it's not exactly the most healthy of them all, but it does taste fairly good. Agave nectar, which is becoming more and more popular nowadays, is made from the sap of the agave plant, enzymatically processed into a syrup. It is very high in fructose, about maybe approximately 85%, and therefore it's very, very sweet. It does not have an identifiable flavor like honey and maple syrup, so it kind of tastes like, well, let's put it this way, it's not as bad as castor oil. For those who know what that is, I know all too well. Next are non-sugar sweeteners, okay? Sugar are not the only sweet-tasting substances we can use in our food, okay? There are a number of other sweeteners that are routinely used, and they can either be natural in origin, coming from a plant's extract, for example, or artificially synthesized solely for their role as a sweetener, okay? One of those everyone knows pretty well is stevia. It's the extract from the stevia rubundia plant. It's used to produce an artificial sweetener, so it's not exactly as healthy as the others because of the way it's processed, but it still tastes really, really good, and it is 100% natural, so it's actually healthier by far than processed sugar. The sweetness is processed by a group of chemicals called glycosides, and is used up to 150... It's basically 150 times sweeter than sugar. And different manufacturers extract and purify this stevia plant in different ways, which leads to the slightly different products that we have, and some of them having a more pronounced and slightly bitter aftertaste, like the liquid stevia. I don't recommend that. Next would be sugar alcohols. Yeah, you heard me right. They're derived from plants. Sugar alcohols are sweeteners that are related to sugars but have fewer calories because they are not fully metabolized, as they have less effect on the blood sugar levels, but can have a laxative effect if they are taken in large amounts. Sugar alcohols include erythritol, glycerol, which also known as glycerin and glycerin, hydrogenated starch hydrosolites, isomalt, lactitol, maltitol, mannitol, sorbitol, and xylitol. And while these all sound great and all, they're actually really, really, really not good in high quantities, okay? Interesting enough, sugar alcohols are often found in products labeled sugar-free and no sugar added, like your diet sodas and such. This is why a lot of people don't recommend them, because they're not actually as healthy as they portray to be. All right? Next on our list would be the artificial sweeteners. Okay, they're low or zero calorie products often used instead of sugar to sweeten foods and or drinks. Okay, they're not just used in so-called diet foods. Notice I said so-called, since many regular ready-made meals and other products also contain artificial sweeteners. Now this brings up this question, and it's still under the topic of our sugars. What are sugars and are they healthy for you? Are artificial sweeteners safe? There have been a lot of debate and research and controversy around this topic about the safety of them. Let's put it this way. The U.S. National Cancer Institute and the Cancer Research in the U.K. Currently state that there is no evidence that artificial sweeteners can cause cancer in humans, and they must all undergo rigorous testing before being licensed to even be used in food in the first place. So, keeping that in mind, you should still stay up to date with the current research into health effects of artificial sweeteners to make your own decision as to whether or not you really want to eat them at all. And one of the well-known ones is aspartame. It's a low-calorie artificial sweetener based on joining the protein amino acids aspartic acid and phenylalanine together. Aspartame is also one of the most common sweeteners and is still that way today. It's sold under a variety of trade names, including NutraSweet, Equal, Spoonful, Equal Measure, Canderol, Benevia, AminoSweet, and NatraSweet, if you've heard of any of those. It has been the subject of a number of health scares and has been linked with brain tumors, leukemia, lymphoma, migraines, and a number of other things. But however, after a number of reviews, for example, by the U.S. National Cancer Institute, like I said before, back in 2006, and the European Food Safety Authority back in 2013, we don't have any actual evidence that this is true. And the acceptable daily intake is set at 100 times lower than the amount that might actually cause health concerns from laboratory studies. It's basically about 40 milligrams per kilo of your body weight. Just convert that to pounds. And an example of that would be 75 kilograms is about a 165-pound adult. It equates to somewhere in the region of 19 cans of diet soda or 363 sweetener tablets a day. If you actually eat that, I don't recommend it. So we'll take a short break and then I'm talk about the last four of them. All right, and we're back. Next is saccharin, S-A-C-C-H-A-R-I-N. It was discovered in, do believe, 1879. It was the first artificial sweetener, okay? Sold as, and you'll probably recognize this, Sweet and Low, or Sucron. It is up to 300 times sweeter than sugar, although some find it has a slightly bitter and metallic aftertaste. It's used in products including foodstuffs, drinks, chewing gum, toothpaste, lip gloss, and vitamins. That's why they taste the way they do. But to keep that in mind, you're not supposed to be eating and swallowing chewing gum, toothpaste, or lip gloss. The vitamins... okay. It was suspected of causing bladder cancer back in 1970, but since then, it's been disproved. Actually, it was disproved back in 1999. That's when they reevaluated it. But it's been concluded that it does not have a possible human carcinogen in it, okay? However, the acceptable daily intake is 5 milligrams per kilo of body weight, and we already covered that. So, next is sucralose. It was discovered also in 1996. It's much sweeter than both saccharin and aspartame and is more heat-stable. It is solid under the brand name Splenda, Zero Cal, if you've heard of that. Sucrana, Sucraplus, Candies, Cucrin, and Novella. Its only acceptable daily intake is 15 milligrams per kilo also. The next is Isophame K. It is often used blended with sucralose to decrease the bitter aftertaste of aspartame in a range of low-calorie foods and drinks. And for this one, it's 9 milligrams per kilo of body weight as the recommended amount to eat. Next and last on my list is Neotane. It was approved by the FDA back in 2002 and made by NutraSweet. Neotane is a derivative of aspartame. It is, however, much sweeter than aspartame and is therefore used at much lower levels. As all sweeteners, there is a controversy over its safety. However, again, the Consumer Advocacy Group Center for Science in the Public Interest has ranked it as safe, so that's one of the things that you don't have to worry about. So with that being said, I've pretty much covered everything I can about sugars and whether or not they're healthy for you. Like I said in the last episode, I did cover pregnancy and wellness. So with that, hopefully you'll know what sugars you can and cannot eat. Again, thank you for listening, and tune in next time as we will cover sugars and your diet. We're going a little more in depth on sugar.